in Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you
Afro-Modern.
Up for Arts.
Like Love, Part 2.
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News. News this week. The news this week is, I'll get ahead of Ian, there's been 95 nominations for the Liverpool Art Prize. Ian, you must be chuffed.
Yeah, chuffed, yes. That's a record, a record breaker. I think it's about 80 last year, 95 this year, yes. So I know, yeah, loads and loads of good, really good artists.
But that will be all the extra tweets that I've been sending out about it.
Yeah, I think your tweets made
all I think they did.
Yeah. So the next day, you can actually see the list online on the LiverpoolArtPrize.com website. You can see the whole list of artists, and most of them have got websites or links that you can look at to see. So if you're not familiar with them, you can see their work and see what you think of them. And the next stage, of course, is for us to get some judges together to decide on the shortlist. So we'll be doing that in the next 2 or 3 weeks, hopefully, with the exhibition going ahead in the summer.
Brilliant. What's the dates for the exhibition?
To be confirmed, but mid to late May, June.
Mid to late May, June. Okay, yeah. That's fair enough. No date decided yet, but more news on the Art in Liverpool blog and on the Art in Liverpool podcast.
Yes.
Now, also in the news this week, Go Penguins auction. Now, the real auction, as in the real life auction, that's been called off for some reason, which we're going to hold in St George's Hall. It's a great disappointment to everyone. But they're going to be holding it online. Just put my teeth back in. They're going to be holding an online auction. Tell us about that.
Yeah, really disappointed because I was looking forward to segment of a live auction in St George's Hall. Because we didn't go to the Lamb Banana one, but it sounded really good. So that is a shame. But one of the reasons is that it's February and it's more snow forecast, and a lot of people have said they just can't make it. People who are really interested in buying Penguins just can't get there. So, you know, having it online opens it out to far more people. We just lose that excitement of being actually there. So, yeah, but there will be a parade of all the Penguins. There's 60-odd...
waddling down the street.
Yeah, Penguin parade. 60-odd Penguins are up for auction. So they'll all be at St George's Hall on the Wednesday and Thursday, the 3rd and 4th of February, for people to go along. And, you know, again, partly because of the weather, a lot of people didn't actually get round the trail over the Christmas New Year period when they planned to go. The weather was too bad, they couldn't get round. So the Little Penguins people have been inundated with calls from disappointed people who haven't actually seen them. So, yeah, they'll have a chance on 3rd and 4th of February at St George's Hall to at least go and see the Penguins before they're all sold.
And do you know how it's going to be? Tell us about the products that we're purchasing. What are they made of? They're quite sturdy. Are they they're cast? Are they what are they? Or are they fiberglass?
They're fiberglass. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, they're not as heavy as they look.
Yeah,
but they're pretty sturdy. Yes, and had several coats of paints and several coats of varnish. And any that might have been slightly damaged or scratched or whatever while they were out in the public arena are all being
touched up
now, being tarted up, yeah.
retouched, okay. Is the correct expression. That's quite good.
So yeah, the how would you actually get to the online thing? The online thing starts on, let's see, the details. I'm sure it's on the 4th sometime. It'll all be on the Go Penguins website, gopenguins.co.uk.
It'll all be on there when you look, but not when we. That'd be quite good. So there'll be an online. So I wonder if they're going to do like a live stream. I think that'd be really quite fun. You could even have somebody standing there, a little gavel.
Yeah.
Paul O'Keefe, little gavel. My bid for this, and the bids are coming in, and that one's gone for X amount of money. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good, but no, there isn't actually full details on their website yet, but there will be soon. Keep checking.
Now, talking about auctions, I just remembered. Arena Art Auctions coming up in March sometime as well?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that was normally held January, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it was going to be in January, but yeah, that's been delayed till late March, I think. They're always good. It's an annual event, auction of artwork by artists in Arena Studios. There's about your 30 or so artists in there, and yeah, usually Paul O'Keefe does the auctioneering. It's a great night, and they raise a lot of money. So yeah, look out for that one, end of March.
And that is the news this week. Roundup of the week. Rounding up the week that was last week. I can't remember the dates. Ian, so yeah, so. Mike Badger, you did the interview with Mike Badger. You went to see Mike Badger. He's displaying work at the Vitrium, part of Crosby Girls' School, I think. You tell us about it, because obviously I'm just mad.
yeah. Merchant Taylor's School.
Merchant Taylor's.
And I don't know that area at all, really. Crosby's one of those drive-through on the way to Southport or whatever. Except it is quite near the another place statues on the beach there. So yeah, Merchant Taylor's School, and it's on several sites, so we had to find it. First is the Big Boys School. That's a really famous one, the big clock tower and things. Not there. So the next one, Merchant Taylor's School, is the Infants. We parked there and saw all these very small kids running around. I don't know, this isn't it. It's the next one along, which is the Girls' School, Merchant Taylor's Girls' School. And they had a new sort of entrance built a while ago. They've really got this idea as an art exhibition space. I call it the Vitrium. So it's like above the entrance of the new entrance of the school. So it's a really nice, it's quite a big space as well. It's just been handed over to exhibit all these really good exhibitions, and run by the guy Mick Gill, who teaches art there. So he's like, and so he looks after the gallery and creates exhibitions there and gets the kids really involved. And so all the artists who come along have exhibitions. He tries and gets them to do workshops with the kids and talk about how they do their stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's really having a positive effect, I think, the whole view of our subject in the school. Anyway, you can hear Mick Gill talk about this himself in the podcast that we did. And, of course, I also spoke to Mike Badger. It's his exhibition, and really good, really enjoyed it. It's like a retrospective, lots of his work going back to the 80s, up to more recent stuff. He's still involved in music, but he does a lot of art, and so some of his art ends up as CD covers.
Yeah.
And probably most people have seen his works he makes out of tin cans or
yep.
other bits of reclaimed metal or unused metal. He doesn't do so many of them now, but does a few, and there's quite a few on display here, and they're really good. Yeah, but there's more to him than that. He does a lot of collages, other sculptures and so on. It's good.
Now, talking about you saying that the artwork goes back to the 80s, I was listening to a track of his which he recorded in 1984, and it was on the Secret Liverpool album. So I was listening to that the other day, and I didn't know it was him, but it's a bit like the Bonzo Doodah Dog Band, and a little story about him getting growing and growing and getting bigger and bigger. Little brilliant. I was thinking Roy G. Biv. So Mike's got a brilliant website where he has got some of his tracks for download, if you want to download some of his tracks there. So you can Google him there at Mike, you know, Google Mike Badger, you'll find it.
Yeah, he does a lot of country music these days, or is involved in country music scene. You know, that been over to Texas with...
Well, South by Southwest, that one?
I think so, yeah.
Austin?
Yeah.
Not who he went with, but yeah, who, yeah.
What I was going to say. Oh, yeah, there's a TV screen there showing videos of... Because he's appeared on Blue Peter and... what was that thing on... On Granada, I think, when Tony Wilson was around doing various things, cover stories. Is that it? So I think it was that similar.
Yeah.
Where he's talking about doing album covers and things like that with the guy from Space.
Brilliant.
Because he did Space album cover tin. So yeah, so that's all interesting stuff as well. Good show. But it's only on till when? 12th of February.
So give them a ring, make an appointment, and head down to Merchant Taylor's Girls' School.
That's it.
Now, also rounding up this week is the works of local printmakers, Emma Gregory, Peter Clark, Emily Jones at Cornerstone, Emily Johns, sorry, at the Cornerstone. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's called Five because there's five printmakers in it, local printmakers. As you say, people such as Emma Gregory, Pete Clark, Emily Johns, Peter Dover, and I can't remember the name of the fifth one. Somebody Dolphin, Tim Dolphin. It's a good show, as they always are. The local printmakers are really good. That runs until the 19th of February. So like I say, it's just good stuff, really good, interesting. Emily Johns works particularly quite serious stuff. You know, mm-hmm. She's done really detailed kinds of... current affairs, should we say.
Ah, right, okay, that sounds really good.
They're more sort of narrative and serious than some of those are more playful.
Excellent. Now, this next item in roundup, a nice little show in the back room of Ye Crack. Now, I poked my head in there on a Saturday night and I didn't really get to see a great deal, to be honest, but what I saw was good. But there were loads of people sitting in there and the last thing you want to be doing is walking in going, yeah, do you mind if I just stand here and look over your shoulder?
That is the problem with having exhibitions in pubs, cafes, restaurants and so on. Yeah.
But so lovely. I must say that the crack. So lovely. It's clean.
Yes. Oh, yes.
They've painted the floor and everything, and it's clean, and there's taken the plates down off the sides. It's been ages since I've been in there. Even the gents' toilet was clean.
Refurbished the toilets, yeah. Amazing.
So, and they've got free Wi-Fi as well.
Oh, right, that's right. Yeah. But I think they stopped serving food, at least for now, anyway.
Mm. Well, that's...
They might continue again sometime.
Oh.
But yeah, it's really nice, cleaned-up place now. But still, it's still the old crack.
So, anyway, that's at the crack. Tell us about what else you've been to see this week. No, the... yeah, we've been the crack.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it sounds like it as well.
Had a few drinks there.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, also last week went to the Blue Coat Display Centre.
Mm-hmm.
I think we spoke about this last week when it was coming up. Birds of a Feather, which features two artists who share studios in Bristol. And we spoke to one of them. And the work is all about like animals, creatures and so on. Although some of them are sort of based on... so they're sort of... Reminds us of
animal-y, people-y.
Reminds us of creature comforts, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Creatures with a character as if they're real people. What's the word for that? Anthropomorph, anyway. And so I'd imagine these two women in their studio sort of on the outskirts of Bristol, maybe in farmy, cottagey type place. But no, it's actually in the city centre of Bristol, nowhere near the countryside. And there's about 30 people in this big group of studios. So not at all like I imagined from the works, which are nice. One of them does... Sorry, I haven't got the names. The ceramics, they're all white ceramics, but they're of animal things, but with some sort of character that look as if they're talking or doing something.
Any characters we'd know? Are they based on like politicians or anything like that?
No, not in that sense. No, just they look like animals. But
next time.
Yeah, okay. And the other artist does these really detailed, intricate embroideries, tapestries, they're on sort of on canvas, so they're 2D. Really colourful, I say intricate. There's all kinds of sequins and things involved, and sometimes she leaves all the threads hanging. So,
mm-hmm.
Really interesting, really good work. Anyway, so it's called Birds of a Feather, and it's on there for a while.
Okay, so that's at the Blue Coat Display Centre. Now, you were telling me earlier, we were chatting earlier about Lawrence Payout's intervention in the city centre. Now, I'd got this completely wrong. I'll palm my hand up and admit this. But so I'd seen the photograph that you'd taken, the one that's posted on the blog, but I didn't read the text, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
So I just thought it was somebody standing there doing what do they call them? Human statues, where they're all painted silver or grey or whatever kind of gold. They just stand there and then they move occasionally and knock somebody's hat off.
Yeah.
That's have a bit of a laugh.
Is it living statue? Well,
it's one or the other. Living statue, it sounds right.
Yeah.
But not at all. Not at all. So from there, my misconceptions, preconceptions could be wrong. So you tell the story.
Because it is actually a real statue of the artist Lawrence Payot, who's... You can read all about this on the blog if you can be bothered to actually read the text. but it's only just a one-day sort of intervention on the corner of Whitechapel, Church Street, Lord Street, by McDonald's. And yes, as we went down, we thought, just another living statues. But there was a big crowd of people there and they were looking at it, waiting for it to move, and it just never moved. So eventually someone would go up, get a bit closer, and still didn't move, and then so then start touching it and realize, oh, you know,
it's solid.
It's solid. It's made out of fiberglass, like the penguins were. But it does look, it's just, you know, it's just a great sculpture. It's so accurate. It's actually G-modeled for itself, so it's life-size and lifelike, and it's all painted that silvery colour. And it's really good. So then when people realised it wasn't a real person, some people would go, oh, it's a con, you know, I'm really disappointed. Others would see the funny side of it and say, oh, that's great, that's really clever. And people even still went ahead and put some money down, even though she didn't actually want people to put money down, because she was embarrassed about sort of going up and collecting it.
I wouldn't have been. I can help out with that next time around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it cost a bit to actually produce this.
Yeah.
I think she got some funding from somewhere, but obviously it'd be good to recoup the cost. It was just there for the one day, and so she was there sort of watching people's reactions and recording it and so on, and it was really good, really clever. And so the plan is now she's going to tour it around other cities, because she has to get permission from the council to put it in a particular place and so mm-hmm. on, and that sort of thing. So she's been working on that. So it's taken several months to bring this thing to fruition. But the plan is to take it around other cities.
It'd just be quite funny just to get a photograph of it, of her and somebody else actually carrying it away.
Yeah.
I say, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what time it arrived there in the morning. Maybe it was pretty early before many people were around. But it got pretty busy in the afternoon.
Okay, and so there's more information about that on the artinliverpool.com blog. And that's Roundup of the Week. This week. Now, Ian, this week there's lots of things coming up, I see from the list here before me. However, let us talk about 2 free tickets to the private view of Afro Modern at Tate Liverpool. So there's been lots of Twitterings going around about you can get 2 free tickets if you retweet. That's sending the Twitter message on to all of your followers. So you've done it, I've done it, it's...
Yeah, but they've just announced the winner.
Oh.
And it wasn't you.
I know.
And it wasn't me.
It's okay, but we get tickets anyway.
Well, that's true, yes, because we're members. I'm a member, you have contacts.
I have, special privileges.
You should be a member of FACT. A member of Tate might help.
In fact, if you're a member of Tate, yeah, it would help.
To go to Private View, which is this Friday. The exhibition does actually open on the Friday as well, so it's an interesting one. We'll be at the press view, I think, on the Thursday, while they're still putting it all together. And this, what we're talking about actually, is it's called Afro-Modern Journeys Through the Black Atlantic. We've been talking about this for a while. It's part of this Tate. I'm putting this on this exhibition, which is takes its inspiration from Paul Gilroy's seminal book, The Black Atlantic, Modernity and Double Consciousness, from 1993. And from this, Tate have initiated this series of events and exhibitions at other places in Liverpool, such as the Sonia Boyce thing at Blue Coats, which we'll talk about in a minute, and there is a show, a one-day thing at FACT, and there's something at the Symposium at Liverpool University, and so on. And the Aubrey Williams show at The Walker, okay, which we've already spoken about.
Yeah.
So that all comes under this Liverpool Black Atlantic umbrella. But this show, yes, it's. We'll find out more about it later in this week. It's actually a fairly quiet week until Friday when we have this the show at the Tate and the show at the Blue Coat. But this show at the Afro-Modern thing at Tate features lots of artists, such as Romar Bearden, Constantin Brancusi, Edward Burra, I think he had something in Blue Coat last year. Who else? Alan Gallagher, David Hammonds, Isaac Julian. Who else? Tracy Rose. Oh, Kara Walker. She's been at the Tate before. I remember her work. It should be an interesting show.
Brilliant. Now, that's opening on Friday the 29th of January. Now, also opening on Friday the 29th of January, as you mentioned earlier, Sonia Boyce at the Blue Coat. And that's the private view is from 6 till 8. and it's Sonia Boyce, Like Love, Part 2. The exhibition continues from the 30th, which is Saturday, on until the 28th of March. So tell us about this. It's part of the Afro-Modern.
Yeah, part of the Liverpool Black Atlantic, linking in with Afro-Modern. Yeah, Sonia Boyce. It's a multimedia installation, which and it originated from a residency at Merton School for Young Parents in Bristol, where it was shown last year. And it explores the universal ideas around the concept of care. So in Bristol, Boyce produced a series of artworks from classroom discussions, which address a fragmentary experience of longing and raise questions about due care and contemporary life. So that's in Bristol, but in Liverpool, Blue Coats have this thing called the Blue Room, where they work with adults with learning disabilities and so on. And so I think she's been doing work on a similar thing here, encounters the adults who have experienced with care to drive the creative process. She'd been meeting with Blue Room people over the past 6 months and engaging with them and creating drawings and films. So it's all a bit, we just have to guess what it's going to look like.
And as Brian Biggs said, it's great to have Sonia back at the Blue Coat 25 years after her first exhibition here.
Which was Black Skin, Blue Coat. Get it? Black
Skin, Blue Coat. Yeah. I get it. That's good. Yeah. Oh, we're talking about Brian Biggs. So he's broken his wrist.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He had a fall.
On the ice.
Yeah. I saw him shortly after he'd done it. He thought he was fine.
Mm.
But clearly not.
Is he not back at work yet, then?
He's probably skiving.
Yeah, he's probably sitting at home listening to podcasts.
So yeah, or his enormous record collection.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's enough of that nonsense. So that's Sonia Boyce at exhibition opening at the Blue Coat this Friday. Now, this weekend, Up for Arts. This is a weekend of events taking place in conjunction or at Radio Merseyside, and that's Saturday 30th and Sunday 31st of January, from 11 till 4. Up for Arts, Ian, a fun-filled weekend of arts and crafts for adults.
This is a new project, Up for Arts. I can't remember exactly who initiated it. I think it's some government thing, probably, and Radio Merseyside are, I say, heavily involved. So they're sort of hosting this event, and they've been putting out the call for artists to be involved in these things. And the Radio Mayors have this thing called the A-Team. It's a team of volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
If you can call up and anything, and they'll try and find out and give you the answer and so on. So they're involved in it. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 11 till 4, there's just all these things going on in the Radio Mayors side. Performance area on the ground floor there, so you can just pop in and have a go at wood turning. There's a ceramicist demonstrating hand building and texture making. Paper origami, origami jewelry making. Oh yes, we've seen this origami jewelry around the craft stalls. Good stuff. Weaving, felting, printmakers, Gribble. The draw the line people. That's right. Django's Riff and other places. That's on Sunday there. I think they're just there on the Sunday. Draw the line, that's good fun. And crochet and other stuff. So yeah, all there at the BBC this weekend.
Okay, so that's on Saturday and Sunday. Now, also opening on Saturday, or is it? It's a one-off event, is it?
Yeah.
Promised Lands, a multimedia event, Promised Lands. It's on Saturday 30th at 8:30 at FACT. It's free, and it says Promised Lands, a metaphor for the migrant experience told through music, words and images. Now, it's free, so I'm not sure. Do you have to get tickets for that? What space is it in?
I'm not sure. I was wondering that myself. It's, I'm not even sure if you need to actually book...
Check out FACT website.
Yeah. But yes, it's again, this is the thing I mentioned that's linked in with the Liverpool Black Atlantic thing, but it's just a one evening do from 8:30 at FACT. There's what else? It includes music, African slave songs, music created by Marcus Garvey's Black Star Liner, Liberian national anthem.
And there's the two sound artists, Edward George and Anna Piva's Flow Motion, which is their ongoing project, Promised Lands.
Yeah, Flow Motion propose a creative rethinking of the idea of the Promised Land, through which the mythologies and histories, tensions and contradictions are brought into play.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Must be a ticketed event. Must be.
Check it out.
Yeah, so check out the Fact website and find out if that's a ticketed event and let Ian know.
Fact.co.uk.
Yeah. Also coming up later this week on Sunday, strange days for something to be open, the launch of Icons in Transformation. This is coming up on Sunday at 7:30 at Liverpool Cathedral. Liverpool Cathedral?
Yeah, the Anglican Cathedral, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's why it's a Sunday. Sunday evening from 7:30, yes. You know, they have lots of exhibitions there at the Anglican Cathedral,
yeah.
And so this is a new one, first one for this year, I think. Icons in Transformation. It's been opened by Bill Redmond.
Yeah, right.
Guest speaker on the night.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sunday, 7:30, and the Bishop of Liverpool, Reverend James Jones. Russian-born Ludmila Pavlovska, who moved from Moscow to Sweden 15 years ago, has been deeply influenced by the colour and symbolism of the art of her home country. Icons have a spiritual power, she says. So, yeah.
So that's
Icons.
Icons. Indeed, Icons. I've said it again. Icons in Transformation. I just can't say it. So that's this Sunday.
I can.
You can. Don't tease. So that's this Sunday at Liverpool Cathedral. Now, coming up on Monday is Joe Hughes' solo exhibition. This starts on Monday at, that's Monday the 1st of February. We're in February already, at Blackburn House Cafe. So tell us about this.
Yeah, another place where there's regular exhibitions in the cafe area there at Blackburn House. We don't always manage to get full details that the artist Joe Hughes has kindly sent us details of her acrylic paintings and photographs starting on Monday. There's always one for a month there, Blackburn House, so you get so the February one is just in the cafe area, is Joe Hughes. I'm not familiar with her work, but yeah, the images she sent us look pretty nice, actually. Nice acrylics and photographs, local scenes and further afield.
So it's mainly boats and beaches. Interesting.
Nice blue skies, I seem to remember.
Okay, well, you've printed this off in black and white.
Yeah.
I can't tell. Also coming up on Tuesday, the 2nd of February, is Bags and Baggage at Liverpool Academy of Arts. Bags and Baggage, what's all that about then?
It's an exhibition of bags.
And baggage.
Even carrier bags, hat bags, suitcases. They like to have these themed things at Liverpool Academy of Arts. They had in the past buttons and badges and things, didn't they? And things like that.
I think it's quite interesting when you get a strange collection of bags and baggage and things like that. That sounds quite interesting because it's kind of we just don't appreciate how the diverse world of plastic bags or hand luggage or whatever kind of bags and baggage you may well be talking about.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting designs out there as well.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, they always are. They are. Sort of more actually when you actually go into these things and more interesting than you think they may be.
Yeah.
When you actually see them all, because they tend to get a lot of entries coming in for these things and they're very popular. Might even see one of Monaco's bags.
Oh, right. A luggage.
You know, when you wear a kimono.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
You
yeah.
Wear a kimono, but when
I don't wear a kimono.
You have these little bags that sort of go with it.
Yeah. I don't actually. I don't know that. I'll just get again. Yeah. The way that I think
it's something like that anyway.
A little kind of right.
Yeah, or maybe what's it mentioned here? Tea bags.
it's a bag. I should be exhibiting the bags underneath my eyes.
You're gonna take your Tesco's bag in.
Yeah, something like that. Quickie.
Yeah, so yeah, good. And actually, the one that they're using for the illustration is one of Alison Bailey Smith's. You know, she makes jewellery and bags and hats and all kinds from recycled.
Oh, yeah.
It's nearly always the wire, the coloured wires that you get in the old television sets. Old television sets, if you take the back off, you know, there's all these valves and all kinds of loads and loads of really brightly coloured wires. And you can make some really interesting jewellery, bags and so on from them.
So that's the tell the TV engineer which ones not to cut. That's kind of, so they mean something.
Yeah.
Not that anybody's ever seen a TV engineer these days.
No.
You don't see them lately, do you? It's kind of disposable items, aren't they?
That's right, yeah. Well, the engineers are, yeah.
Right.
there are sort of, whole warehouses full of these old TVs just waiting for people to rip apart and recycle the innards.
Yeah, most of the, there's one down off Jamaica Street, isn't there? Well, I always see them unloading a big pile of TVs down there. Maybe I shouldn't mention that. I don't know. Anyway. So that's
by any office, yeah.
That's Bags and Baggage on which opens on Tuesday, the 2nd of February. Don't have a time for the, well, it starts, so we're not sure when the opening is for that.
I think it's normally noon, actually, noon till 4. Noon till 5 each day, I think. Tuesday to Friday.
Excellent. Now, we mentioned Go Penguins earlier, but it's on our list for this week. So Wednesday, 3rd of February, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's closed for lunchtime from 12 noon till 2. And same again on the Thursday at St George's Hall. It's your last chance to see Splashy before Splashy goes into the mincer. Unless somebody buys her. Please buy Splashy. Ian and Monaco will be really upset if you don't.
Yeah, we'll be checking who buys him as well. So, we've got to go to a good home.
Yeah. You'll have to fill out a form, like an adoption form.
Actually, we're really worried about that. You know that there was in the OA place, there was a group of little baby penguins, the hatchery.
Oh, yeah.
They just come out of the little eggs. They're going to be split up, or someone's going to buy the whole lot, you know.
Well, it would be cruel to split them up, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking like a couple of fools.
Actually, on the Thursday, it looks like they'll get a lunch break on the Thursday.
No lunch break on a Thursday?
Lunch break on the Wednesday, 12 to 2, but Thursday, it's straight through, 8 till 8. At St George's Hall. I assume they're in the Great Hall. I'm not sure. Might be outside. Cold.
Well, that's okay. The penguins.
Yeah, that's all right.
And this, of course, is the... So you can go along, have a look at them, just so that when the online auction starts, you are there ready and willing with your credit card and whatever to start making your bid.
Yeah, there's a full list of all of the auction... Penguins are being auctioned on the Go Penguins website, and they all have reserve price as well. So I think the reserve price for Splashy is $1,300. So be prepared. Some are even more than that. And they've actually had a few reserve bids already in, so the sealed envelope type thing. Yes. So really keen on getting one, then you can put in a sealed bid now.
Excellent. And that is this week. Further ahead. Now, there's only one item in further ahead this week. So, let us hand you over to Ian. And Ian will tell us what this one item is.
It's not very far further ahead in February.
It's only a couple of weeks away.
Yeah, starts on the 5th of February at Merseyside Maritime Museum. And this is the Vanished World... I'll give the title first. China, Through the Lens of John Thompson... 1868 to 1872.
He wasn't very old, was he?
I think that's the period he spent in China.
Okay.
Through the lens. They always say through the lens now. I'm getting fed up with through the lens. But anyway, through the lens of John Thompson, 1868 to 1872. So as you can imagine, China was a bit different all those years ago.
Yeah.
All black and white. I assume. Did they have colour photography? When did colour photography start? Never mind. The vanished world of Imperial China is vividly captured on glass plates by an intrepid Scottish photographer, John Thompson, who travelled throughout the country meeting people from all walks of life. They had people posing before backdrops of palaces, monasteries, pagodas, streets and backyards. They still do that now, don't they?
What, still have streets and backyards?
Yeah. And people posing. It's... the whole dress and everything was so different then. and it was all very very imperial. So that's interesting. I don't know how many actual images there are. He amassed 650 glass plates.
650?
Yeah, it must have. His suitcase must have been pretty
heavy. Yeah, he had to pay your excess baggage on that one. Yeah. He's all yours, sir.
Yeah. Oh, here we are. There are more than 140 images in the exhibition. So that's a pretty big exhibition, isn't it, for the Maritime Museum? Quite often the little things hidden away in a corner there, but it's a pretty big one. So, yeah, it opens on the 5th of February and goes through until when? 6th of June.
6th of June. Okay, so loads of time to see that. Yep. That's the end of another show.
Yep.
Show 82.
Wow.
I think. And so, without further ado, I'll say thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers. You've never said cheers before.
That's what I always say on my emails. I always say cheers.
Cheers. Okay.
Yeah, off to the people.
Okay, yeah, don't I wish. And thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.